Good evening. Go to John 12 today. Hope everyone doing well. I know you're doing well. You're here. Amen. Amen. Couldn't be a better place than here. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's go ahead and begin here. Got some notes here. All right. Why did Jesus come? Seek and save that which was lost. Luke 19:10. You know, if you got your Bibles, I had to divide John 12 up in relationship to scheme of redemption. I'll do it this way. Been thinking about that. Chapter 11, verse 55 through chapter 12, 11, in accordance to chapter 20, in verse 30, many other signs true that did Jesus in the presence of his disciples was not written in the book, but these are written that they might believe. We emphasize the Christ being the Messiah, the light of the word in relationship to who Jesus really is, in relationship to the anointing or the chosen of Jesus by God to be the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. Then from verse 12 about verse 19, we'll see Jesus as he enters Jerusalem for the last time. Some people call that Palm Sunday, denominationalism, whereby this is the Sunday before Jesus to be crucified, that Friday of the Eve of the Passover. In relationship to fulfillment of prophets in Isaiah 2, Micah 4:4, in relationship to the law, my brother Spear talked about so eloquently on last Sunday night, the law was going to go forth from the city of Jerusalem. Then verse 20 to 36, Jesus, I will rise. We're going to talk about that. My time has come to seek and save that which is lost, to die on the cross. Then 37 through 50, we see Jesus conclude the revelation of why he came, his ministry. And still verse 37 to 43, that's unbelief. And 44 through 50, Jesus summarized his purpose in relationship to understanding why he came. So go to verse 12, that's where I'll begin today. Verse 12 through verse 19. Jesus entered into the city of Jerusalem. I want you to know that he didn't enter into Rome. He didn't enter into New York City. But where did Jesus enter? Why Jerusalem? That was what had been prophesied about in relationship that the law was going to go forth from Zion out of the city of Jerusalem. These are what I call identifying marks to prove that the church of Christ, the church that Jesus built, the church that he promised upon this rock, I will build my church, were to begin in the city of Jerusalem. Because that's where he went. He went into the city of Jerusalem. You know, a lot of times, when you think about what the Bible says, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. A lot of times when we sit down and prove and look at the authenticity, we look at the correlation of the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and see how they correlate, especially with the Old Testament, with the New Testament, in relationship to the Old Testament and the New Testament, we see that it all fits together like a glove in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. So let's look at verse 12. Let's begin to read. On that next day, much people that will come to the feast. What feast are they talking about? The Feast of Pentecost. Pentecost always on what? The first day of the week, right? 7 times 7, 49. Look at Leviticus 23:15, plus 1 that was on the eve of Passover, which was always on a Sunday. And what did that prove to us? That the Lord's church began on what day? First day of the week. Acts 1:1, Acts 2:1, I'm going to correlate that. Acts 1:1 to make a point. Acts 1:1 to make a point. And Acts 2:1, I want to look at, and I want to tie that back in to verse number 12. To see what we're talking about. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 1, and we're going to read a few verses, and then we're going to pick up at Acts 2:1. We talk about Acts 1:1. The former treatise I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, you know, write John 20, 30, 31 there. Until that day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. If you got room in your Bible, write John 14, 26, 15, 26, 16, 13 there. And then if you want to tie it all the way to James 1, 25, or Mark 9, 1, or Luke 24, 45 to 47, I give them to you again. Just to show you the chain of command that went through in relationship to why they went into the city of Jerusalem. Okay, here we go again. John 14, 26, 15, 26, 16, 13, Mark 9, 1, Luke 24, 47. The reason why they are so important, because the promise of the Holy Ghost of Matthew 3, 11, was promised to the apostles. See, it was a promise that was made to the apostles, Mark 16, 20, to confirm the word. Okay? And that's the reason why you see that language there when it talks about this here in Acts chapter 2 and 1, the former treatise I made, unto that day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. All right? To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, pertaining to the church of Christ. The kingdom is the church. Ephesians 1, 22, 23, Colossians 1, 18. So that's the language we need to use if we're going to understand what we're talking about here, even in the Gospel of John. So when you go to Acts 2, 1, when he talks about, and when the day of Pentecost will fully come, see, the apostles were all with one accord in one place, we see the correlation to the day of Pentecost on that day. What day? The day of Pentecost, because that's when all this was going to transpire. Not any day, but the day of Pentecost that were promised to the apostles to be given their Holy Ghost in order to confirm the word. So when you go back to John 12, look what it says here. And on that day, what day? See, that's the day he's talking about. Most people there would come to the feast of the Pentecost, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. To Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a feast day that all Jews from all nationalities had to go to Jerusalem to observe this, some call it Feast of Weeks, Feast of Pentecost. But see, what I'm trying to get you to see in your mindset, well, Jerusalem, Pentecost, Holy Spirit. Because see, all these were going to be important facts that are going to happen concerning the kingdom of God, concerning the church of Christ. Let me ask you a question. What church did you know that was promised and it came to reality? All that we can read about in the Bible other than the Church of Christ. I'm serious. Well, the first church didn't pop up to around 600, right? That's 500, almost 70 years too late, right? We say 567, somewhere along there. So the point that I'm saying is that when you think about this, that this how I know 1 John 5:13, these things were written that we may know. See, I know this. And you should know this here. That's the reason why, brother, when it comes to the church, there is no vehicle that ever been established is greater than the church of Christ. Amen? And we need to do everything in our power to keep it pure, to keep it through apostolic doctrine. When I'm talking about apostolic doctrine, either through command, example, or it's inferred. You got to find a command, or you got to find an example, or it's inferred. You say, what's inferred? Well, it's the Lord's Day, right? See, we know on the Lord's Day, when the whole church come together in one place, we're supposed to worship God in spirit and truth by doing all five items of worship. But he don't tell you a time. So you can do it any time within that 24-hour period. Churches of Christ are autonomous, overseen by the eldership, right? and whatever the congregation or elderships agree to do, long as fit within that 24-hour period. Right? So it's inferred. I mean, he didn't say that at 11 a.m. it got to be done, or at 1 o'clock it got to be done. The point that we need to understand, and this is where people are messing up, this is what happens when you add to God's word. Y'all hear what I just said? See, he went to Deuteronomy 4:2 and Proverbs 13:6 and Revelation 22:18-19. Then you go to that brother. See, when you add to or when you take away from God's word, you're going to have problems. Amen. Because you're going to read what you sow. When you get away from apostolic doctrine, see, when you go back and look at the early church, what they did. See, we know what they did. See, on that day, what day? The day of Pentecost. See, on what day? Acts 1:1. On the day of Pentecost, what happened? They were in the city of Jerusalem. What happened? They received the promise of the Holy Spirit. What? That day, not any day. It had to be what? That day. Right? So when you add to God's word, right? See, your intent may be right. You may have zeal, but it's not according to knowledge. But when you do it, you're going to have problems. Right? Because, see, then you begin to institute choice and people begin to do things for the wrong reason. Right? For example, if we stay with apostolic doctrine, right? If we did what the apostolic doctrine did, when the whole church come together, one place, on that day, the first day of the week, we know on that day it was Pentecost, right? Which was the first day of the week, right? And we came to do all 5 hours of worship and that's it. We never did nothing else but that, amen, on that day, right? Am I right? Then I add to God's word, right? See, you would never had nobody to say, well, how come we can't have it another time? Because that never would have been another time. Y'all get that? You want me to say it again? Because we only did it what? One time. Right? That's what they did, right? Don't that make sense? See, am I right? In spite of what your reason may be. See, the denomination of people have good reason for a lot they do. But they don't make it right. Because it's in violation of God's word. But it do a lot of good. Amen. But it's still not right. So now people say, well, how come y'all can say it's wrong to do that? It's wrong to do that. Well, it's wrong to do it because you can't find it in the book. It's not according to the word. Regardless of how much good it may be. But what y'all against doing this and doing that? What y'all against doing that and doing that? Well, see, if you can't find it in the book, brother, we can't use it. Amen. Right? But see, you got to understand that. You got to comprehend that. And that's really why I want to correlate what he's saying there on that day. On that day, your mindset should be, well, what day? Day of Pentecost. What day? The first day of the week. It's our day, Romans 15:4. It's the first day of the week. See, it was that day when Jesus came into the city of Jerusalem, right? It wasn't any day, but it was that day. What day? See, Acts 2:1 said, what day of Pentecost, right? Well, Acts 1:1 said, to receive the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, right? Then I gave you scripture to tell you, to show you how John 14:26, 15:26, 16:30 said, how he promised to them, so I'm going to bring back remembrance of all these things that I taught you. Amen. See, then when you get down to verse 16, in a minute, you're going to see that they still didn't understand. See, they still didn't understand. They still couldn't write the divine God word. They still didn't see truth. And here, Jesus, this is the Sunday before Jesus was going down the cross. They had been with Jesus for 3 years. But they still were ignorant. Amen? Now, I know you said Acts 1 said, Lord, when are you going to restore the kingdom back to Israel? See, they still don't understand then. Because they thought it was going to be a physical kingdom. It's like today. See, people want to make the church a physical church. The church ain't physical, it's spiritual. Right? The only reason why we got this building is for convenience. And I say all the time, we need to put less money in a building, amen, and put more money towards spirituality. I mean, people like to build $5, $6, $7, $8, $9 million buildings to satisfy the flesh, don't they? The lust of the eyes, right? See, this should be no more just convenience, right? And the only reason why, because we don't have homes big enough to accommodate the whole body, do we? Now, if only one but 8 or 9 or 10 of us, we can be in homes, couldn't we? We wouldn't need no building, wouldn't we? That's what the early church did, didn't it? From the house to house, what? Daily, that's what they did. See? So, see, don't get so wrapped up in a building. See, I remember when we were meeting the house down there on Bethlehem Super Highway, some of the elderly sisters, God bless their soul, and brothering, you know, they were so glad that when we bought this building. And they told me, my brother, Lord, we sure is glad us got a building. I said, why? He said, because us didn't want to die and have our funeral in no house. They just didn't want to die and not have a place to have a funeral. But they were relieved when they saw these pews and they just could die in peace. Because everything was all right. But it don't matter. Am I right? Am I right? In relationship to what happened, what matters is the way you die. Is that right? See, not what's going to happen, not after death. See, that's fanfare for y'all. See, what good having a big funeral you in hell? You ever thought about that? Huh? I mean, what good to have a big celebration and got no room, flowers everywhere, you know what I'm saying? And then you in hell. That don't make no sense, do it. Am I right? See, you ever thought about that? I'm getting off my subject a little bit. But see, it don't matter. So I want to spend that time there for a minute. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Y'all got that within your mindset? On that day, much people that were come to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Underline that word Jerusalem. Underline it, because write Isaiah 2:2. Write Micah 4:4. Write it down. And the rest of those scriptures, you can tie them in there. Because see, until you understand that, brother, and can rattle that off, you should be able to rattle that off. You know why? Because it has strong implications. Amen. See, because guess what? If the Holy Ghost never came, the church never would have came with power, right? Am I right? For the apostles to know, for we know in part and prophesied in part. But see, if they didn't know in part, see, that which is perfect never would have came. You ever thought about that? See, we never would have had this, would we? See, he gave them that to know to write this, right? Am I right? See, if they never gave 14, 15, 16, see, the promise, the miraculous dwelling of the Holy Spirit to them that were in the city of Jerusalem, because they were told, Luke 24:45, to go there, hey, we wouldn't have this. You ever thought about that? It's sad, man, that people can't write the divine God word. You know, we need to be on our knees every day thanking the Lord that we can study, show ourselves approved under God, working need not to be ashamed, but we can write the divine God word. I was watching the evening news tonight, and they were talking about the statement President Obama made and had a lady there, and they had her addressed as apostle. And I looked at my wife, it's just so sad. My wife looked at me and said, I thought she was dead. She got to be if she's going to fit the qualification of Acts chapter 1, but I'm not going to go there. But see, you need to understand that. Then it goes on to say, and Jesus, when he had found a young ass, down as it is written, all right, in verse 15 is found out Zechariah 9:9. This found in Zechariah 9:9. See, he prophesied about Jesus coming in on an ass coat. So I say, well, why did Jesus have to come in like that? He could have came in on a horse. Why did he have to come in? He the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Why did Jesus? You know why Jesus did that? To abase. And see, when I use that word abase, you should say Philippians what? 4:12. See, he did that to what? Obase. In order for him to be what? Lifted up. See, you should be thinking about James 4:7, right? Submit yourself, resist the devil, draw unto him, and he will humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. He will do what? He'll lift you up. You know, ass was just, I mean, it wasn't nothing. See? I mean, you shut off ghetto. You poor. Huh?
And that ain't too fast. See, just the word itself don't sound good, do it? But I guess the lesson that we need to learn, listen to me, y'all, and this is what you should write there. See, if Jesus had to humble himself, then you go to Philippians 2 the other night. See, and I can go there right quick, too. See, and by Philippians 2, see, the Bible is full of lessons, amen? Just full of lessons, amen? See, over in Philippians chapter 2, okay? I want to start at verse 1, okay? Is that all right? And then let me read a little bit, okay? Is that all right? Because, see, if Jesus humbled himself, abased himself to abound, if he submitted, see, if he resisted in order to draw nigh unto God, see, be humbled, to be exalted, how much more you and I need to do it? See, that verse right there was something that written aforetime or written for our learning. Amen. Our learning. See, we need to learn from that. You understand what I'm saying? It wasn't about what he wrote in. That ain't got nothing to do with it. You know what it had to do with? Number one, to teach us a lesson. And number two, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. See, some people say, I won't be caught driving nothing like that. I won't be caught. See, you know what? We had black folk been eating neck bones all our life, chitlins, pig ears, all our life. Then you get grown, make a little money. I don't eat that no more. Huh? Yeah. That's what we grew up on. Y'all remember? Some of us over 50, we know what we're talking about, right? Mom, we ain't got no meat, you better go meet Jesus. Y'all remember that? Yeah, that's all we had, right? Huh? Somebody said, Mama made some cornbread, you thought you had a chocolate cake? Be so good. Am I right? Mama make you a mayonnaise sandwich, you swore ham was in there. I don't know what she did to that. It was good. It had no meat in it. Y'all remember that, right? Yeah, you remember that. See, then you're going to get and start making more money and forget where you came from. It's a lesson to learn, but let's begin to read. See, don't now forget where you come from. If that be definitely in the consolation in Christ, underlying word in Christ, because you can't do it out of Christ. If you're in the comfort of love, and in the fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercy. See, that word bowels and mercy signify abasement too. See, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord of one mind. Stop right there. Stop right there. And look what he said. See, ooh-wee, look what he said. See, number one, I'm going to give you an analogy. Give us an analogy. If you're in Christ, right? We're going to comfort one another in love because we got the fellowship of the what? Is that right or wrong? See, what guides us is the giving of the Spirit, right? That we're going to love one another, right? Because we in what? See, you can't be in Christ Jesus and hate your brother and still say you're in the fellowship of the Spirit. Right or wrong? See, you can't say, listen to this point, you can't say you in Christ and you ain't cleaving. Am I right? Y'all with me? Leave father, mother, cleave. You understand what I'm saying? See, you can't say that. And love, if you're not guided by the Spirit, am I right? Is that right? See, you got to be in the Spirit. Now watch it. It's two kinds of spirit, right? God's Spirit and the what? The devil's spirit say, no, you don't have to do it that way, right? See, the devil's spirit say, what's yours is yours. See, mine. My mentality, right? But God said, you got to twain together, you got to cleave, and you got to be what? That's what the Spirit said, am I right? If you love, amen. If you're in Christ Jesus. I just thought I'd drop that by. Because that's what the Bible said, right? Y'all might well look up. Because that's what the Word says. See, I'm taking a speech class. And a man said, when people look down, and you're speaking, they don't want to hear what you say. He said, you can tell when you got people captivated, he said, I look at you. He said, when they do this him, he said, you don't lost them. That's what he said. I don't know how true that is. But I know one thing. When I said that, some folk went down. I don't know. Maybe you're looking at your Bible. I don't know. I hope that's what you would do. Underline that, brother, because see, you got to be in Christ Jesus, amen, to see what we're talking about. Because see, when you're in Christ Jesus and guided by the fellowship of the Spirit, see, you're going to understand the love of God, amen. You're going to do it. Then, look what it says here, the next thing going to happen, you're going to have joy. Amen. You want to be happy? You want to have joy? Well, stay in Christ, right? Stay on loving, amen. And stay in the Spirit, amen. You can have joy, amen. I ain't talking about no temporary joy. I'm talking about happy when you ain't got but one edge. You got to split it four ways. Amen. I'm talking about happy when you broken down a hank. You ever been broken a hank? You ever walk around the house pick up pennies? Huh? I'm serious. Yeah. But you still love one another, amen. And you laugh about it. He said, fulfill you my joy. See, that you may be, look at that word, underline that word, like-minded. Am I right? You agree with me, brother? See, we like-minded, right? Because we in the Spirit, right? We love one another, am I right? Because we in Christ Jesus, right? And we happy about it, am I right? Y'all see what I'm saying? Y'all see the danger when the church is divided? You see how dangerous that is when we don't speak the same thing. The devil be on one, ain't it? See, the devil be on one when he divide the church. Remember what Paul said, when I depart, greedy wolves go in and I span the flock, speaking perverse doctrines. Why? To draw. That's a bad situation to be. Because, see, you're not like-minded. You're not like-minded. Why? Because, see, you're not in the Spirit. Love not there. You're not in Christ Jesus. Then when you're not that, you can't be happy. Amen. But the main thing, and this is what I like about it, you are like-minded. When you're like-minded and when you're using the Spirit to be your guide, hey, the Spirit going to take care of everything else. Am I right? Like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Then verse 3, he said, see, let nothing be done, see, through vainglory. See, Jesus wasn't concerned about what he came in on, right? He came in on our ass. Then he didn't care what other folks say. Amen. Because see, he was in the Spirit. He was doing things according to the will of God. Amen. He went into the city of Jerusalem and had been prophesied. Amen. So it made no difference what he rolled in there. Amen. So what do that teach us? Same thing. But see, you can't understand that with a proud spirit. You can't understand that with a haughty spirit. You can't understand that if you're not in Christ Jesus. You can't understand that, brethren, if you're not guided by the fellowship of the Spirit in love. Amen? Because see, what happens, the devil take your mind somewhere else. Amen? See, the devil take your mind. See, so it didn't matter what he came in. He just came. Thank God he came. Amen? Amen. Mess around with some of us, they still be trying to get there. See? Still trying to get there. See? We will change our mindset. We need to change our thinking. See? To a base, to abound. Amen. Man, Philippians 4:12, you need to write that down somewhere. Write it down. Tie it into James 4:7 through 10. Because, see, the next verse, he says here, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. See? But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. And what that means, see, when you are guided by the Spirit in Christ Jesus in love, by you being the light of the world, what you're going to do, we're going to build one another up. Amen. And that what that means, Brother Frazier? I'm back to competition. Huh? That right? That right. Every one I tell you, listen to that. Listen to what I tell you. You know what's good about this congregation? We bless folk. Brother Spirit, you gave one of the best lessons. I mean, I really do appreciate it. But you done the same thing, have you? Sean done did the same thing. John have did. He gonna do it in May. Shake your head. Okay. Shake it up right now. Am I right? All right. So we're going to get air back there. See, because see what we're doing, see, we are taking the fellowship of the Spirit in love. Amen. Am I right? See, he has done it. Amen. So it ain't, some folks say, well, Al, why are you letting all those folk preachers? They're going to take your job. It ain't my job. It's Jesus' job. Amen. Am I right? We try to build one another up. Amen. I can't do it by myself. He encouraged me, didn't he? Didn't he encourage you? Amen. He encouraged me so much I wanted some pudding. It was in there. But I wanted me some anyway. Y'all see what I mean? And that's what happened here is you keep our strife at vainglory. See, we had an attitude. That's the reason why it didn't matter, John. It didn't matter what Jesus came in on. It don't matter where you live. It don't matter. Somebody said, how your day going? It's wonderful. I'm here. Amen. That's the best part of the day. I think about what Sean said. Sometimes I wake up, and then I lay back down a little bit. I better not go to sleep. Sean said, you wake up one time, go to sleep, you better not wake back up again. The Lord bless you to wake up, and you're so lazy, you're going to go back to sleep again. But this time, I ain't going to let you wake back up. Sometimes I nudge Doris, and Doris, you up? She said, yeah, but let me lay here a little bit more. I said, don't go back to sleep. You might not wake back up. That's something to think out, ain't it? Yeah, God going to bless you see another day. You too late to keep your eyes open. Amen. See, y'all understand what I'm saying? See, we got to learn what he's saying here. See, that's the reason why it didn't matter when Jesus came in on. See, nothing to be done through. I'm not in the word strive for vainglory. Leave yourself out the way and let's do God's will. Amen. Let's use all the talent we got, everything God blessed us with, the fellowship of the Spirit, being in Christ Jesus, in love, joy, the like mind, of one accord, of one mind. Let's use all that to glorify God. Amen. We already got enough putting us in the world, don't we? Man, that world putting at us, and you can't come to church to enjoy it? What's wrong with you? Fight or roll eyes at somebody? Or be jealous of somebody? Amen. And we call ourselves in Christ Jesus? See, you expect the world to do that, amen? Not us, but see, you got to see why it didn't matter. What Jesus did. But let me read on. I'm going to move on. I'm going to keep on reading. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. Underline the word servant. See, to be submissive, you got to be a servant. I was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, what did he do, Brother Frazier? What did he do? What did he do? Go back. Read back up. He did what? He humbled himself. He humbled himself. That's what it says here? See, he humbled himself. Look what it says here. He said that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Let me tell you something, folks. You ain't telling me that if you get in Christ Jesus, right? You do it in love, right? God about a fellowship of the Spirit, right? They're going to bring about joy, right? They're going to make you be like-minded, right? Be of one mind, of one accord, right? How can you not be humble? See, if you don't obey, you can't be humble. It take obedience to cause you to be humble, right? And you can't be humble if you got strife. See, a part of your life. Look what he says here. I want to read one more time. Verse 7, but made himself no reputation, took up himself the form of a servant. Underline the word servant. See, because we got to serve one another, right? Am I right? See, look back up. Let each esteem other better than themselves, right? And that way he said, see, if you worry about yourself, let's be the light to somebody else, right? And was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. And became obedient unto death, even to death on the cross. Look at verse number 9. And that's what you need to write down. James 4, 7, 8, 9, 10. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him. He came in on the ass, but now he's the head of the church. Amen. Amen. To the point, verse 10, that at the authority of Jesus, every knee shall bow, thing in heaven, thing in earth, and thing under earth. But he came in on an ass, didn't he? It didn't matter, did it? See what happened? See, when you got your mindset, it don't matter. That really don't matter. See, something we worry about, we don't even need to worry about. Something we stress out about, it don't even matter. Am I right? If you go back and examine your life and look at your life, and you look at the things that gets on your nerve or rubs you the wrong way, 99.9% it'll have nothing to do with spirituality. He said 100%. I'm being generous. It don't even matter if you got that right mindset. That's the reason why you got the base to abound, that whatever state you find yourself in, you're just going to be what? Content. See, we let things of the world mess our minds up. Just mess us up. See, things that don't even matter. See, Jesus, because he humbled himself and he learned obedience. See, same way Jesus teaches us here, brother, this is a lesson that we need to take home with us. Amen. So go back to John 12. Y'all with me? So I say, well, why did he do that? Why did he come in the ass? Well, it didn't matter. It don't even matter. You know what do matter? Whether you're in Christ Jesus, in love, in the fellowship of the Spirit, that calls you to have joy, am I right? That you're going to be like-minded, of one accord, of the same mind, that we can esteem each other so we can get humble so he can exalt us back up. Amen. Did I put it right? See, it don't even matter. See, that's something that we got to be transformed. You can't conform, Romans 12:2. Be not conformed. We got to transform it. You got to see it and you got to work into that. Go home and look at everything you got and just write tangibility on it. Because it don't matter. You brought nothing in this world and you're going to take nothing out. Am I right? Some of us work ourselves to death, have heart attacks and strokes to leave everything that we're working for. That don't make sense. Am I right? I had a client die the other day, 55 years old. What happens? Had a heart attack. What happened? He had a heart attack. Well, why? He was all right the other day. What happened? Had a heart attack, 55. What's nothing wrong with it? His wife said that he'd been working a lot. His wife said that he'd been working a lot of overtime. I ain't saying that killed him, but I know he did. Now, what? That's the question. See, we have it here, Romans 15:4. Whatsoever things are written aforetime are written for our learning. See, we took a lesson from Jesus, right? We saw what Jesus did to base himself. Now, if Jesus had to take on the form of a servant to learn humility that he may obey, how much more do you and I have to do it? Well, Paul told us what the answer is, right? So if you don't do it, that's the problem. Go back to what we're saying, John 12. So a man said, well, why did Jesus do that? It doesn't matter. It didn't matter. See? And Jesus, we had found a young ass, sat down at it is written. Now I will tell you this here, Zechariah 9:9, it was fulfilling a prophecy. Because Zechariah had prophesied that that's what was gonna happen. And you may remember every dot had to be dot and every T had to be crossed. I came not to destroy, I had to fulfill the law. All the Old Testament prophecies of the 17 books of the Old Testament, every prophecy had to be fulfilled in order for God's will to be done. And I tell you what, every prophecy of the Old Testament, you can find in the New Testament being fulfilled. Not some, but every. Ain't that something? All 17 books back there, a prophecy in the Old Testament, all the Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, all of them, all 17, they prophesied Jesus is coming, and guess what? They all fulfilled in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just those four gospels. Every one of them. Man, that's a study in itself, ain't it? See? Look at verse 16. He said, these things Now, this is what blew my mind. Understood not his disciples at the first. See, they didn't understand that when it was happening. Amen. See, y'all remember Matthew 3:11, he said some are going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. You remember the promise of John 6:14, 15, 16. See, y'all see the promise. See, you see the prophet with no empowerment. Y'all see what I'm talking about? See, think about this here, Brother Spears. If God never gave the apostles power, could we have the church? No. Because we never would understand. Guess what, y'all? We got the Bible some folks don't understand. You got the Bible and some folks want to argue the Bible. Some folks sit there and say, Brother, Lord, I just don't understand. I don't understand. I just don't see it, brother. Like, you know why you don't see it? Because you ain't humbled yourself. You want your way. Amen? See, you're not in Christ. Because see, if you're in Christ in love, guided by the fellowship of the Spirit, if you're like-minded, have the same mind of one accord, if you humble yourself, See, God will exalt you to understand. Amen. That right? But look what he said here. He said, these things understood not his disciples at the first. But look what he said. But when Jesus was glorified, see, they had to see Jesus glorified. They had to see what he told them come into reality. Before they believed. See, then remember, I want you to write a word down. And that word is, I'm going to give it to you in verse 16. And I want you to look at that word, because that word has strong meaning there. It's E-M-N-E-S-T-H-E-S-A-N. It kind of like, that word means amnesia. All of a sudden, they did remember, but now it came to them. I'll give it to you one more time. E-M-N-E-S-T-H-E-S-A-N. That word, that means they remember. But see, they didn't remember until they saw Jesus, what Jesus had taught them. But you know what made them remember too, Brother Frazier? The power of the Word of God. See, he what the word you use? He illuminated their mind through inspiration through John 14:26, 15:26, 16:13. Because they never would have remembered if see, whatsoever I taught you, it's going to bring back remembrance of all these things that I taught you. See, it had to come with power. See, they had amnesia. They just didn't understand. Wait a minute now. If they didn't understand, and they were with Jesus, amen. How much more were we going to be ignorant if we don't study God's word? Amen. Y'all understand what I'm saying? See, when you fail to study, or when you fail to do the thing that you need, or if you don't seek Bible classes, if you don't think worship is important, or you don't think Wednesday night is important, folks, you are making a big mistake. Some of y'all ain't picked up your Bible since last Sunday. You are making a big mistake. I had the best Bible study of the day by myself. I was sitting in my truck raining. Guess how I had the Bible study? With my iPhone. Now, it won't dial out, but everything else worked. Because it broke. But the internet worked. And man, I got me a website. Man, I went there and I was reading and I was studying. And I was having a good time. See? And you can too. So it said that they remember that these things were written of him, right? John 20:30-31. And that they had done these things unto him. See, y'all remember I tell you, listen to this. 66 books in the Bible, right? How many in the Old Testament? 39, right? How many in the New Testament? See, you got to know how the Bible. 12, I mean 5, am I right? 12, 17, 5, am I right? So you got to know what all that means, right? In relation to poetry, history, prophecy, encouragement, right? Even under grace and truth. See, why do we tell you things? See, you learn these things, you apply these things so we all can be what? Like-minded. See, why I'm telling you, we're using these binders, right? You know what I'm talking about? Suddenly we'll work them again. Why we're doing it? So we can be like-minded, right? So we can be in Christ Jesus, am I right? So we can learn the thing that Jesus did. Y'all with me? I like this. John, you want to say something? It's in here. Romans 1:16. That's it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto what? 2 Thessalonians 2:14, how we're called. See, you're called by the gospel. I don't know where you're going to be called. You got to study, right? See, Colossians 3:16, right? Let the word of Christ dwell in you what? Know you not that your body is a temple of the what? 2 Corinthians what? 1 Corinthians 6:14, ain't it? Yeah. All right, you need to write them down. I go them again. See, we know this, 2 Timothy 3:16. We know that, right? See, what he's saying, Romans 1:16, right? It's power. What good power when you don't study, right? Right. Colossians 3:16, right? You let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, am I right? Right. Know you not that your body is a temple of what? And what you say what? 1 Corinthians what? 3:16. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 2 Corinthians 6:14. I'm going to give them to you one more time because, see, power ain't going to be just given to you. You got to get it. Amen. Am I right? See, they didn't see it until they got it. They had to remember what Jesus had told them, what they saw and learned. Am I right? You see what I mean? So you got to study to get the power. Am I right? You got to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly so it can teach you, so it can admonish you, am I right? Then you got to know you're not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Guess what? The Holy Spirit don't dwell in dirty temples. Ain't that what we're talking about? See, you ain't in Christ Jesus. If you don't do it in love through the fellowship of the Spirit, that you may have joy, that you may be like man, or one mind, or one accord, hey, the Spirit going to bounce off. Am I right? Because drop all the way down to verse 24. We heard a little bit, but I'm going to go back. But look what he said in verse 24. It is very real, I'm telling you, except that corn or wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. Right? Luke 8:11. See, a seed fall and ain't on good soil, ain't nothing going to happen. They going to die. Am I right? See, you can come to church all day. If your soil ain't right, you just here. You just here. You're going to die. You just here. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. See, if you let the seed work, if you let the seed, what, through the power of the word of God, teach you, admonish you, am I right, then make the transformation, folks, you're going to have life. That's abundant life. Am I right? You with me? I tell y'all that. What good coming to church when you ain't gonna apply it? What good, you know what? What good coming to church when you're gonna leave the same way you came? You ever thought about that? We all have sin, right? See, we all filthy rags, am I right? But one thing about them filthy rags, every time we come, we get them a little bit more cleaner, don't we? Am I right? We grow just a little bit more, am I right? Ain't that right? Man, the word of God is something else, ain't it? A base. Philippians 4:12. Write that down. See, it's a base. I text John the other day. What I tell you, John, keep on counting. I don't want to talk about counting your money, neither. Didn't I say it, John? I told Terry the same thing. I said, Terry, keep on counting. See, the world can't count. See, count means that you're going to, that you're going to analyze, that you're going to test, that you're going to seek. See, you see, the world is pulling at us, amen. But you're going to keep on counting. See, in the fellowship of the Spirit in Christ Jesus, whereby the world don't have no hold on you. Now, the world going to attack you. The world going to pull at you because you're in the world. See, I tell you all the time, people around you is the devil. If they're not in Christ Jesus, they're the devil. Now, I know y'all don't want to say that. I can't put it all away. Because you ain't but two classes of people, right, wrong, left, right, right? See, God or the devil. You can't say, well, I'm 50% God. Am I right? See? They're the devil. And that's the way you got to see it. The devil know they're the devil. That's the reason why he going to keep him the devil. The devil know you the devil. What he going to do? He want you to, what? Why you think folks work on weak people? Because, see, they're easy to be what? Transformed. Why do you think people who are not in Christ Jesus, not being guided by the fellowship of the Spirit, why do you think they always pull on folks who are weak? Why don't they call some strong folks? See, somebody say, I got something to say about Brother Brown. Won't they call me? Because I'm going to put them on Matthew 8. Don't say me nothing. I know what the Bible says. Amen. See, if you're weak, what you say? Come on, when that happened, bro? Lord have mercy. Jesus, and throw Jesus all in it. Because, see, they know you're weak. But see, when you, here we go again, you say with power, right? When you take that power, that's what it is, but you got to get that power through study every day, am I right? And then you got to let the word of Christ dwell there. See, that's what he said here. See, if you just throw that seed out there, see, if that seed ain't got nothing to penetrate, it's going to die. Because see, the word comes, that's what the word, that's all night the word been coming, right? I've been throwing that word out, right? See, that seed been popping all around here, am I right, my friend? But see, what good if somebody say, well, time to go. The seed can't penetrate. See, her brother, American Idol's come on tonight, brand new season. American Idol can't give you no power. Amen? Am I right? Okay, I'm out of time. Whew. Go ahead, my brother. I didn't mean to teach this hard today. Go ahead, bro. Yeah. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Well, that's a validation. I tell you all the time, when people talk about you doing something right. See, you know why? Because, see, they don't understand. It's just like them apostles. They don't understand. They don't understand you. That's it. Okay, we're out of time. We appreciate you. Cheryl, you got something you want to say? Yeah. Uh-huh. Tall baby. Mm-hmm. 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 That right? That right? That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. Well, that, and the devil know that. Yeah, the devil know that. See, why you think he got the whole denomination of old locked in? See, they'll tell you anytime to interfaith, interdenominational. See, we all come together, make no difference how you believe or what faith you believe. They say it all the time. I'm serious. Come on out, we're going to have an interfaith worship. How can you have an interfaith worship? But see, because they don't understand, right? See, and they can't write the divine God's word, they accept it. And the devil know that. See, the devil keep you ignorant. He got you where he wants you. See, when he see you don't have time to study, or you don't have time to come to church, or you don't have time to do the thing, that he got you exactly where he wants you. Because see, the fellowship of the Spirit ain't gonna work. You understand what I'm saying? It's like I asked Brother Brown. I said, Brother Brown, you think I'm too hard on when I preach? He said, no, man, we need it. He should say how he said it. The tone he said it. I said, well, maybe I shouldn't ask that the way he told me. He gave me an answer. See, he don't like that. He really don't. Because, see, most churches are concerned. I'm telling you what's going on in the world today in church, even in the church. Most preachers are concerned with big salaries, making the money, being preachers of big congregation, power, prestige. See, and they going to tell you what you want to hear. Because, see, what I'm doing is negative preaching. I run people off. Because they don't like it. But that's what the gospel is. It's sharpening that two-edged sword. It cut both ways. See, so the point that I'm saying, Sean, when you talk about the Tower of Babel, you can be warned and be successful. In the devil, I say. And he'll make you successful. But you know one thing about that says, you get up there, when you fall, it hurts, buddy. See, you can get up there, but when you fall, man, it hurts. Because the devil put you up there and let you go. He'll drop you like a hot potato. You understand? Because, see, the devil can't go against the law of God. And what I mean by that, Galatians 6 says, what you sow, you're going to reap. See, what you sow, if you sow toward the spirit, you're going to reap everlasting life. If you sow toward the flesh, you're going to reap damnation. The devil can't overrule that. That's just a law that can't be changed. See, when you brought spirit, went to Deuteronomy 4:2 and Revelation 20:18, see, you can't change God's word. When God puts something in here, you can't change it. Because it's God's word. But when you do change it, or when you do add to it, you're going to have repercussions. And I say it again, you're going to have repercussions. So when he says here in Philippians, see, when you are in Christ Jesus, you better stay in the fellowship of the Spirit. See, to be like-minded, not like the world. Because, see, we could be just like the world. See, we could be just like the rest of these churches around this town. Just get along and get along. I'm being preachers, man. You know what they say? I said, why do y'all do the false Sunday singing? I said, why y'all let those people in y'all pulpit? Well, Brother Lyle, we just get along, get along. Hopefully, by our actions. No, that ain't what the Bible say. The Bible says, you walk disorderly, come ye out from among them. Be ye separate, said the Lord. Amen. How are you going to correct them when you're fellowshipping with them? They say, well, we'll get along to get along. But you see what that happened? See, they allowed that to happen, didn't they? And then, somebody had a good idea with a latest Bible class. Now look what they got. They got their own entity set up with their own president, treasurer, secretary. See, they go on conventions. They got their own bank account. They got everything. See, y'all understand what I'm saying? See, got their own preacher. But that's what happened when you go outside God's word. See, you get anything. And that's the reason why I brought you got to do it just the way this book say. I don't care how difficult it may be, how against the norm. See, when you do things against the norm, people don't like it. A man say, well, I just don't understand why y'all don't get the Lord's Supper. Well, he just like the apostles did. They didn't understand until they had a spiritual revelation. Amen? And you ain't going to understand until you have that revelation from the word. Amen? Because you're going to sit here and say the same thing. But see, if you don't study, that's the key point. See, a lot that I don't know, but I listen to you and I'm going to study. You understand what I'm saying? See, because I don't want to lose the blessing of the fellowship of the Spirit. Okay? All right, we're out of time. Hey, continue to pray for Brother Frazier, Brother Smith. Go by and see him or just give him a call. Continue to pray for Sister Alicia Joshua, all the sick and the shut in. Hey,